Hagman and Hagman Report. Just so happy to have with us tonight Dr. Ted Brower. Healthmasters.com is his website. That's healthmasters.com. Doug 5, D-O-U-G, the number 5, at checkout. Use that as your promo code for 5% off. And may I make a recommendation? How about buying your salt from Healthmasters? That's right. I did, and, oh, man, it's good stuff. It's mined from an ancient seabed. And of course, nature created the salt long before the earth experienced any pollution or contamination that are troubling our seabeds today. So there you have it. And you could taste the difference. It is a great spice, salt, necessary. That's healthmasters.com. Dr. Ted Brower is with us talking about a range of issues, including Hillary the Yak. I don't know where that came from, man. You know what? But I think it's time that if we... Okay, we have a yak. The yak attack is now across your screen. Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch, the yak Clinton. And by the way, Ted, we experienced a little blowback, as did Alex Jones, not to the extent she did, or he did, from her comments, because of certain things, and I can't get into it. I'll tell you privately, but I will say that the landscape is changing. These globalists like her she's got her claws out, and it ain't good. So,
well, did we really think she was going to go quietly into the night? Did we really think she was going to do that? Did we really think that we were going to have her get exposed like this? I mean, she got her pants dropped, bud. I mean, she got fully exposed to the whole country with that email scandal. And now she's unbelievably angry. This woman is so filthy and so foul-mouthed that when I talked to the folks that were George Bush's Secret Service agents that were in his White House, they asked to be transferred out of the Clinton White House to stay with the Bushes because of her filthy, 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 and I'll say it again, filthy mouth, and the way she's so condescending and so horrible to people who she doesn't like, who don't agree with her, or who try to expose her. Remember, this woman, as far as I'm concerned, is demon-possessed. Now, I believe that a lot of people believe that also, because I don't believe anybody could be this evil. And so do we really think this whatever thing that's inside of her was going to go quietly into the night? Don't you remember how the demon basically threw that little boy into the fire in the New Testament and basically wanted to stay in him? And then finally Jesus said this only comes out through prayer and fasting, and Jesus himself had to cast this demon out? I mean, these things don't like to leave when they get inside of a person. And now this thing's been given a full-blown exposure to the world, and she doesn't like it. It doesn't like it. Whatever it is, she doesn't like it. And now she's coming back with full tentacles exposed, going full claws out. Now she's turned into the wicked velociraptor T-Rex that she is. And now she's basically coming after all the alternative media because she does not want anyone saying anything about her Clinton Foundation. Because remember, she has the full support of the corrupt federal infrastructure that has also been involved in the Clinton Foundation and the selling of secrets through her Dropbox email account to different governments around the world. So all of these other people are deeply embedded with her. It's kind of like the stuff with Scalia. I mean, Scalia ends up with a pillow over his face because the boys found out that they weren't going to tolerate his nonsense anymore because he was going to be exposing all of them. And this is the nuttiest stuff that I've ever heard with her, but I didn't expect anything else from her, Doug. I never expected Hillary Clinton, the witch of Benghazi, to go quietly into the night, did you?
No, I guess not. No. But when it gets, I mean, it's personal now. It's personal. That's all.
You're probably the second largest alternative talk radio show other than Alex Jones that I know of. And, you know, I've been on a lot of them, and, you know, I can gauge it by the response that we get. I mean, even the Power Hour with Joyce, you know, it had a huge audience, but it was nothing compared to yours from my own personal experience and what I saw. So they're going to come after the big boys. And so you're one of the big guys. And my little show that I do with Austin for an hour every day, in which we talk about geopolitical stuff, I mean, we reach a good size audience, but nothing like you do. I mean, yours is in the millions and millions. You know, we probably have 3-4 million people before it's over to listen to this podcast. And so they know that. And the NSA knows who you are. They know who I am. I told Chuck Baldwin last night, I said, we don't have to worry about being in the fight at the end game. They're just going to take us out first. All the leaders are going out first. And he kind of laughed. He goes, that's probably true. And I said, yeah, I mean, they know where we live. And I said, the sad part about it is that, you know, it doesn't make any difference. The Bible says, death, oh death, where is thy victory? Where is thy sting? Thy sting. Jesus said that. Because as born-again Christians, we're already in covenant with God Almighty. And nothing's going to separate us from Him. He won't allow that to happen. So if we do have to check out here abruptly, okay, it doesn't make any difference as long as we're born again and we're saved. Because we're going to check. I'm like you said, which you were so kind to point out earlier, I'm the oldest one in this conversation tonight.
Oh, I didn't say that. That was my alternative.
But it is true. I'll be 61 years old in a few months. And the craziest thing is I realize that my best physical years are behind me. Unless I have a restorative miracle, then don't get me wrong, I'm still in great shape. But you know, we're not supposed to go quietly into the night. Like the other day, this was interesting. I'm in this RV, right? And I pull into this parking spot in Walmart on Sunday. I'd left some friends of mine from an Amish community over in Libby, and I pulled into the Walmart, and I tried to, and I let Sharon and Savannah out. We had to refill our jugs up for water. We have like 20 jugs of water with us. And so I had to let them out front. And then when they were filling the jugs up, I had to turn back into the parking lot and get away from the front of the store. And I pulled into this aisle. At the same time, another guy pulled out in a pickup truck, backed out in front of me. And we kind of got pinned. And I couldn't go forward. He couldn't go back because the aisles were too slow. All he had to do is pull forward a little bit. And I could have gotten around him, but he refused to do it. He stood there and just looked at me. And like, what do you want me to do? If I back into the intersection, I'm going to cause an accident with this RV. And so finally he gets out of, no, listen to this, Doug. This is crazy. And this is what blows my mind with what happens with Christianity. So he gets out of his car and I'm thinking to myself, what's he getting out of his truck for? So I open the door and I said, look, dude, I'm sorry we pulled in together. I apologize. I said, could you please back up again into a spot? And he looks at me, starts cussing at me and says, you better say please to me and you better tell me you're sorry. Well, you know, that's the problem. You come across as being a Christian. You come across as being nice and now they want to start insulting you like that. Well, the conversation went badly for him. And I lit into him. He's a big guy, about 6'4". But I'm standing on my stairs like 3 feet in the air, higher than him. I looked down at him. I said, you know, buddy, I can tell by how you're acting. He's about my age. I said, that you're used to intimidating people. I said, well, you know, I hate to tell you this, Buckwheat. I said, you don't intimidate me. You don't scare me. I'm not trembling. I said, you're nuts. I said, you're completely, I mean, you guys are thinking, well, this Ted Brower, he really is Looney Tunes. Well, okay, I am Looney Tunes. You want to believe that? But you're not going to sit there and start cussing me like that. And now, as a Christian, I could have, I guess, turned the other cheek. And I mean, I didn't get into a physical conversation with a guy, but I certainly wasn't going to go and be you know, completely and totally insulted like that. And I said, no, we're not going to do this. I said, you don't intimidate me. Don't scare me. I think you're nuts. And then he starts talking like he's gay, right? He starts talking like he's gay. And I said to myself, I'm thinking this guy must not be taking his medication this morning. So finally I looked at him, I said, now you're talking like you're gay. And I said, on top of everything else, you're probably a Hillary supporter. I said, I've had it with you. I'm not going to discuss this with you anymore. I'm going to call 911 and have them tell the cops to tell you, since you don't want to listen to reason, to move your stupid truck. And so I shut the door. And about 5 minutes later, you know, he comes up, moves his truck, and drives away. And I thought to myself, guy, you know, I shouldn't even have told you that story, okay? It's kind of like going to the doctor's.
Only you in the Walmart parking lot.
Well, okay. No, I don't even like going to Walmart. That's why I said go to Costco. And I mean, and so, you know, you see the pictures of these people at Walmart all the time. And the guy, who knows if he was on meds. I don't know what the guy's problem was. But, you know, all he had to do was move 3 feet and we could have gone around each other. He just chose not to do it. Just wanted to provoke a conflict. And here I come as a Christian trying to be kind to him. And he just gets madder and madder because I apologize and ask him if he could please move his truck. And that, as a good Lord is my witness, that's how the conversation started. Now, the conversation didn't end that way and I wasn't being very nice at the end. But the reality the reality is this. How much are we supposed to take, Doug, as Christians, as patriots? How much are we supposed to take when we do something that we know is right and they consider it a sign of weakness? I mean, it's ridiculous. And so sooner or later, we've got to stand up for the values and the beliefs that we believe, because if we don't, they're going to take everything, Doug.
You're so right. And folks, and let this be a message to certain people who are listening. Do not underestimate Christians, okay? Do not underestimate us. Do not take our silence for acquiescence or
That's
our
right.
our tolerance to a point for subjugation, because it's not and don't be poking. Put that stick away. You know, you want to poke, go ahead at your own peril. But that's just my message. And you're right. We have to stand up for what is right, for what is righteous. And there is such a thing, Ted, as righteous anger. You know, there is.
Well, I just got in the flesh. I have to admit that. I'm not going to sit here and put some halo over my head, because I didn't act like a... I acted really nice to start with, but then I just couldn't take the guy anymore. I thought, so this guy's just Looney Tunes. And so that's the sad part about all of it, is this, is that we have crazy people, whether you're in Florida or whether you're in Montana, there's still crazies running around. And guys, listen to me. I'm going to say this one more time. A lot of people act like that and are just completely nuts because they're taking so many prescription drugs and it's affecting their brain chemistry. And I see it all of the time. And these people are like, they're like nutbags. They simply can't control themselves or what they do and what they say because they're on so many drugs. Look at Hillary. They say that she has these fits of anger and rage and outbursts. Now, that's probably her personality. I can't attribute that to the drugs. But the sad part about it all is, guys, listen to me. As Christians, we've got to realize that sooner or later, we've got to say enough. Sooner or later, we've got to say, we don't want to do this anymore. We don't want to put up with this anymore. And this government out of control with us, and this destruction of the United States as we know it, we've got to say that we're done with this. And now we're finding out that George Soros basically controls the Democratic Party. And remember, a few months ago, we did a whole thing on the Balfour Declaration, George Soros, who he was, how he collaborated with the Nazis, how he went to the Bank of England, and as far as I'm concerned, at that point, got trained in the Rothschild banking cartel methodology and was funded by the Rothschilds. I believe that, and I can't prove that, but I believe if you did enough research on it, you'll find that's going to be true. And now he's just another minion like J.P. Morgan was with the Rothschild banks back in 1900, you know, with all the stuff with the Federal Reserve Bank that was going on with J.P. Morgan. They thought he had all this money. They found out later he was just a minion of the Rothschilds, as was Rockefeller. And so all of these guys are being controlled by these Sabbateans that we've talked about so many times, who want to turn the world upside down. That's why Scripture tells us in latter times, what is good will be evil, what will be evil will be good, because this is what they want. Because Jesus warned us, as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to happen again. Now, that was very clear when Christ said that, that's when he's going to return. Now, I really believe that we've got a little ways to go before it gets that bad again, but with all the genetic engineering and all the stuff they're doing to us and all the globalism they're forcing on us, I believe it's coming that way again, Doug, and I believe that we just happen to find ourselves in the opening of the book of Revelation. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. It's probably not something I really wanted to be here, but I say one thing about this is, it's not boring. If you find this election cycle boring, then you need to read some more newspapers and look at some more internet sites, because this is not boring, because this is crazy what's happening right now between Clinton and Trump. And they could actually do these debates, if they actually happen, between her and him as a pay-per-view, because this is going to be like the Worldwide Wrestling Federation fight. I got a feeling there's not going to be anything held back from Trump on this, and I think he's looking forward to debating her. But whether they'll let her do it from a medical standpoint or not, Doug, I don't know. Do you think we're going to have a debate, Doug? Do you think it's going to happen?
Man, you know, I've been running this scenario in my mind. I don't know, Ted. I cannot see a normal debate. Whether they happen or not, I don't know. But I cannot see a normal debate, normal by standards four years ago or 8 years ago. You know, I just can't see that. So, however they conduct it, it's going to have to be heavily moderated. I don't know. But you know what, Ted? There's something about this election. I don't know what it is. Whether the fix is in, or whether there's going to be a surprise change, or hey, whether there's something happens that will prevent an election. As much as I think that's really crazy, but I don't know. It's a crapshoot.
Well, you know, with really Merkel is. And Czechoslovakia, the government and Merkel now telling their citizens to store food and water and provisions and get extra money. I mean, you know, as if they were fixing to have another war start. I mean, these guys, if they started it without, now the United States sending troops into Syria and warning the Russians not to bomb them. I mean, this is crazy what's happening over there in the Middle East. I mean, this is a direct affront to Putin. I mean, again, they're trying to poke him in the eye and trying to force, you know, World War III or altercation with the Russians. I don't know why. I got a feeling that the nuclear missiles that we have on both sides are completely antiquated technology, because, you know, this is 100-year-old technology when it was first started being researched, 80-year-old till it was developed. I mean, this is some nutty stuff that we actually have weapons that are so much more advanced on space-based weapon platforms. Now they can lay ruin to entire cities. Of course, Fred Bell said that very clearly on Jesse Ventura's show and was dead several days later. And he was one of the rocket scientists who helped develop the doggone Star Wars program with the particle beam weapons, which are the microwave weapons. And so it's some weird stuff to be in this planet right now with all of this technology that's been promulgated through all of these different organizations and governments that can lay waste to entire cities and continents without ever firing a nuclear weapon. And we all know now that our nuclear weapons and missiles are all basically still being run by floppy disks, which tells me that there's really not a whole lot of credence being put on these types of weapons and their ability to work like they're supposed to work. And they're having technology now that is much, much more advanced. And of course, we could do more research with that, with the fallen angels and all the stuff that I've talked about before. But we need to go ahead and do some more stuff down tonight with the biomedical effects of microwave ovens. Years ago, Russia...
Hey, Ted, sure, let me ask you a question. Before you get into that, we've got a number of people, several people here that have urgent, or what they deem as urgent health questions. Can you take a couple of real quick questions if I ask you about a couple of medical conditions?
Yeah, go ahead, Doug. What are the questions?
All right. One person wants to know, and by the way, folks, none of these do we consider light questions. So here we go. First of all, we know how you think about, or we know what you think about fluoride. So that question right there, don't give it, period. In pill form or in any other form, buy your toothpaste from Health Masters. That's my answer to the lady in Ohio. I just answered a question for you. Did you feel your lips move on that one?
Thank you, Doug. I can tell I've been on with you a long time.
Yeah. So it's a non-starter. But do you have anything, or how would you go about addressing an issue of psoriasis? I mean, it's a kind of a nagging problem.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, I had a problem with that on my scalp a few years ago, and here's what I did to get rid of it. I don't have it anymore. And this is something that I believe will work for most folks. I'm not claiming any cures or whatever, but I've seen it work with me personally, and the people that have used it have had really good results with it. What I did is I started taking like a teaspoon of silica cell salts like 3 times a day and another teaspoon of bioplasma cell salts 3 times a day, just a teaspoon, tiny little bit of cell salts. You can take and put them under your tongue. And I also combine that with borage oil. I'll be very careful where you get the source. We have the highest quality borage oil available on the planet. And I took the borage oil, I also took flaxseed oil, and I took cod liver oil every single day. And the psoriasis stuff that I had on my head completely and totally was gone within 4 weeks. I mean, gone, ta-da-done, gone. I mean, and basically, as long as I stay on that protocol, even though I don't have to take as much of that any longer, it never comes back. But if I stop taking the protocol, after about 3 to 4 months, it starts coming back again. So I'm able to completely control that. And it goes back to the same thing I said earlier, Doug. Doesn't it make sense that I've been doing that to start with? I never would have had a problem with it to begin with, because I can completely control it this way. And so that's what I learned. And I felt so sorry for people with psoriasis and you know, seborrhea and all these different things. And you'll see sometimes they've got these huge scaly patches on their arms. I've gone up to people before and I've said, look, you know, how long have you had that? They'll say 10, 15, 20 years. And I'll say, well, I can tell you how to get rid of that. And I'll just write it all out for them real quick. Now, whether that they listen to me or not, I don't know. But the folks that have listened to me, I do know they've had really, really, really good as a result. It also around the eyelids, you start getting flaky spots right there by the eyes and by the eyelashes themselves, and this completely took care of that also for me. So it's a really good protocol to follow. It's kind of like the immune system that we have, the immune system based program on our website. If you've got a compromised immune system, start that. If you're having a problem with blood sugar metabolism, start the Healthy Blood Sugar Protocol by Hagman. If you have got a problem with your joints, if they don't feel as good as they normally feel, start the Healthy Joint Protocol by Dave Hodges. And it's all 5% off now with Doug Five. And there's no limit, there's no minimum on any of this stuff. And that's why we put these protocols together, because these are like support programs to help your body do what your body needs to do. So it's really easy to feel good in most cases unless you've allowed yourself to get into a situation which you're really, really sick. And so seborrhea, psoriasis, that type of stuff, that's really a nuisance, especially when you've got it on your scalp and you got these big flakes falling on your shirt. One time I was out there, I had this itchy spot on my head and I started scratching and I looked down and I said, you've got to be kidding me. I looked at my shirt and I said, I'm not dealing with this. And so I started doing the deep research on that to figure out what to do. And the silica cell salts combined with those oils and the bioplasma salts completely took care of it for me, Doug, and it happened very, very quickly.
Thank you. Okay, there you go. Looks like somebody had a bad manicure. Last question here. Rather than take that one, let's go to this one. Is there anything to do, to dissolve scar tissue?
That's a tough one, Doug. I've never seen anything that really does that well. Now, sometimes if you have a really bad scar, you can go to a good surgeon. They can redact it for you. I know that Sharon, years ago, this is an interesting story. I've never told it on your show, but I'll tell it now since this came up. Years ago, she had a grapefruit-sized tumor on her left ovary. This is my wife, Sharon. And she basically, she went to the doctor. He immediately sent her to an oncologist. And then the doctor said, well, I think it's a water cyst on the ovary. I don't think it's cancer, but I'm not sure. And of course, the oncologist said, we don't know. We have to basically go in there and remove this tumor in its entire mass. And I told Sharon, well, it's entirely up to you. I said, I'm not going to tell you what to do. You have to make your own choice on what you want to do with this. If it's a water cyst, you know, you could probably go in there and lance it. It'll go away. I said, but if it's not, you could be spreading the cancer throughout your body. I said, I don't think we've got cancer in our system because of all the supplements we take. I think it's a water cyst. We had to use some fertility drugs with Sharon because she had some problems because she had taken her mother had taken a compound called diethyl sylvesterol when she was pregnant with Sharon, and it caused a lot of ovarian problems with Sharon when she was younger when we basically were trying to have children. But that's another story. So what happened is the doctor went in, and it was crazy because my wife is just stunningly beautiful. She's like 59 years old. She looks like she's 40 years old. She's stunningly beautiful. She stays in shape. She's a size 2. And so we go in and we talk to the surgeon. So he goes, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go from the thoracic point here, right between the breast, and I'm going to cut straight down to the abdominal wall, all the way to the pubic crest, and we're going to pull this tumor out. And I said, so you're telling me that you're going to cut her open a foot deep all the way down? And I said, look, if your skill set as a surgeon is that bad, we're not going to use you. I said, you're going to do a bikini cut below her navel, and you're going to basically remove it that way. He goes, well, it's more work for me. It'll take longer. I said, I don't really care. I said, we're paying you to do the surgery. I don't need my wife butchered with this cut like this. And so he goes, well, I can do it that way. You got all mad and gruffy. So he removed the cyst, and it was a water cyst like we thought it was. And in the meantime, it basically really affected her hormones, which affected her emotions because she was already going through menopause because they removed the ovary. And that's why she wrote the one chapter in the book on how she stabilized her mood swings after she lost that ovary and went into menopause. And that's in the Breakthrough Health book. She has a whole protocol, a whole support program for women who are going through menopause to help them regain, how should I say this politically correct, which I'm not very politically correct, how they can start acting normal again. There you go. That's the way to say it. And what ended up happening, he left her a butcher scar, Doug. I mean, it was a butcher scar. It was awful. And it never got better. It just kept getting worse, you know, with age. And finally, we found a doctor who I think he charged like $600 or $700. And he was a really good facial plastic surgeon, actually. And he redacted that scar and he basically removed it. And now you can't even see it anymore. So if you've got a really bad scar like that, if you get a surgeon who can come in and do it correctly, who's skilled, in most cases, that's going to be the easiest way to get rid of bad scarring, Doug, is that I know of. There are some things that you can use, some different oils that are supposedly to help all of this. We tried all of that, and we didn't get good results with it, so finally we just had the scar redacted. But you can go look up online and say, what essential oils help to get rid of scars? And there are a few that supposedly work for that, that we did not have good results with. But again, the scar he left her was absolutely horrific. And so she just asked me to get it fixed, and I told her that we would. So that hopefully that's a real personal question for us, but I don't mind sharing that with the audience.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. And it's amazing. You know, folks, doesn't this show that we all go through, I mean, regardless who we are, we all go through things. One last question, Ted. The bad manicure, as I mentioned before, persistent fungal infection on one of the nails of this woman's hand. What do you recommend?
Well, there are a lot of things you can use. It slipped my mind. It'll come to me in a second. Again, essential oils really, really work well. Google it online. There are essential. Oregano oil is supposed to be really good for fungal infections. It does a great job. I had a place in my nose after this last trip to Europe that we went to last April and May that I couldn't get it to clear up. It was crazy. I'd gotten something. I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was. And so I finally started putting oregano oil on it and it completely cleared up. It was on the outside of my nostril and it completely went away within about a week. So the oregano oil is supposed to work really well for fungal infections, but you can look online too and just put fungal infections, essential oils, best alternative. Just do a Google search on it and it should pop right up. Also with fingernails, the silica that I talked about earlier will really help you. It'll help you to get rid of brittle nails, and also the B vitamins help you to get rid of brittle, flaky nails. Those two are really essential nutrients that your body has to have healthy nails and strong nails. And so we have all of those supplements, again, available at Health Masters. And again, our stuff is tested to make sure it doesn't have lead in it, which is really, really important.
Folks, and we're getting up to the bottom of the hour here. I just want to tell everyone, I watched the videos of Ted's the manufacturing process. And millions of dollars of equipment, the environment in which your products are made, you know, processed, and the end product. It's unsurpassed, in my view anyway, out there. So take advantage. Doug5, D-O-U-G-5, is the, that's the promo code, coupon code for any purchases. This is a gracious offer by Dr. Ted Brower. Healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Folks, we're going to be right back for our final segment. And we're going to just unchain Ted. Ted's been chained. You know what I mean? He's been like chained to the chair. We're going to unchain him. Unleash him. Thanks, folks, for your support, your kindness, your sticking with us. It really makes a difference. I just want to say God bless every one of you. And thanks for listening. Stay right where you're at. I'll be right back. Hagman and Hagman Report, our very special guest right now, Dr. Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Doug5, D-O-U-G-5, is the super secret code for 5% off. That's right, 5% off all the products. They're a good buy without the 5%. 5% just makes it a better buy. Quality nutritional supplements, healthmasters.com. And Dr. Ted Brower knows a lot about a lot of things. And by the way, those people who ask the questions, you're going to get billed for house calls, $25 a pop, and that's going to be $15 for Ted, $10 for the house. That's right. We're doing it. We know where you live. Just kidding. Seriously, what a great, gracious guest we have, and a great friend of the program. Love it when he comes on. I could talk to Ted for like days, you know, just days. We get purple sticked up, maybe we will. I don't want to take up any more of your time, Ted, so your time that is on this program. So I'm going to turn you loose. Unchained, Unleashed, Watchmen Unleashed. Take us wherever you want to take us.
Well, there are a couple more articles I want to cover, you know, with Merkel and what's going on in Europe and Germany becoming the rape capital of the world other than Sweden. Remember, Sweden is still the rape capital of the planet. I mean, Sweden's lost. Sweden's done. The Muslims have pretty much completely overrun Sweden. I was there for the first time back in the late 90s. I was there with Austin on a cruise that went to St. Petersburg, Russia, and Sweden, and Finland, and also Croatia. And so we had a, not Croatia, it was Estonia. And so what was interesting about all of this is that, you know, when we were there the first time, Doug, Sweden was still blonde hair, blue eyes. I mean, it was this typical stereotype that you always think of the Swedish, you know, volleyball team or whatever, right? And then the last time I was there about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, almost all the women had their head wrapped. I mean, I'm talking 90%. and this is in Stockholm, and I saw very, very few Swedish girls with blonde hair and blue eyes, and very few Swedish women. So their culture has been completely destroyed because of globalism and because of political correctness. And of course, when they joined the EU, they were forced to take in immigration, you know, quotas. The problem is there weren't that many people in Sweden, and these quotas now with these folks that have been coming in for the past 15 years, and with their massive birth rate, then these guys have up to four women, you know, they're allowed even in the United States, which doesn't make any sense to me, Doug. How can we have laws against polygamy in the United States, but yet we still allow Muslims to come into the United States and have four wives basically apply for Medicaid and Medicare and financial assistance for one husband? It doesn't make any sense to me. The whole thing is just twisted up. I mean, the Mormons were denied statehood until they got rid of polygamy out there in Utah. And so, I mean, I'm not saying that polygamy is a good thing. I'm not saying polygamy is a bad thing, because polygamy was practiced in the Old Testament. But what I am saying is, why is there a double standard for the Muslim women versus the people who live here? And in Europe, they've come in now, and they're just having like 16 children, which I guess is okay if they want to have that many kids, but a lot of them on the social welfare programs, but it's overwhelming the population of those countries, and the cultural degradation that's occurring is just overwhelming. And again, I mentioned at the beginning of the show when I spoke to those Germans from Germany yesterday on the tram at Glacier, they refused to even acknowledge that this problem existed because they were so politically dumbed down and trying to be so politically correct. They simply were unwilling to even in another country discuss the turmoil going on in Germany, which absolutely blew my mind that their mind programming was so complete and so inclusive. So let's go ahead and go through some news stories real quick about Germany and some other stuff happening with Soros. Merkel is now preparing for a deliberate crisis while the White House plans for a disastrous succession. Because, I mean, Texas is basically saying they're going to succeed. Russia basically is on our doorsteps now. We may be going into this giant war. And it's just nuts what's happening in the United States. And we are running out of time, so I'm not going to try to read this. But this article is called Merkel Prepares for a Deliberate Crisis While the White House Plans for a Disastrous Succession. And this article is written by Jeff Berwick. And so you guys can go online and you can read this yourself, because it's about 15 pages long. And I don't want to get into this as far as the length of this, because it will eat up the rest of the show. This is an article that says that more than half of Americans are now living on the edge of financial ruin. Now, this is what happens when you do a social welfare program and you train people that they don't have to work for food or work for anything, Doug. And I'm not saying there aren't cases in which people actually have to be helped by the government, but I think it should be from the churches, which we mentioned earlier in the show. But a new poll has revealed that 6 in 10 Americans are teetering on the edge of financial ruin in case of a medical emergency or an act of God, and only 23% expect to see any improvement in the near future. The survey conducted by the Associated Press Research found that 57% of the polled describe the economy as poor, and only 22% believe the economy has recovered from the financial crisis of 2008, which we know, of course, it has not. The economy has not recovered. It just has not. There are pockets where the economy has recovered, primarily in the housing sectors, because of the zero interest rate loans that people are pretty much getting now, or 2 or 3% loan rates they're getting, which is starting to cause some hyper problems again in some areas, which are hot pockets for real estate. So they have to be very, very careful in those areas too. And now here's the article we mentioned earlier. This is by Luther. It says, why is the German government telling people to stockpile food, water, and cash? Again, think about this, guys. Most of the time when they start warning stuff like this, it's because it's almost too late. Another article. CNN election propaganda hits historic level. Voting, quote, voting for racist bigot Trump is like urinating on black people. Did you see that article, Doug? I mean, I can't even believe they say stuff like this.
Yes, I did. I mean, it's propaganda at its finest. I mean, there's a narrative.
Well, what's happened is his basically appeal to the black voters actually went up when they said this, because everybody knows this is crazy. I mean, everybody knows the Democratic Party was the party of the KKK. We all know that. And now we know that the media is worried because too many Americans are starting to question the legitimacy of the 2016 elections. And now they're starting to do damage control already. And they're trying to give us skewed numbers on the polls putting Hillary neck and neck with Trump, which is completely nonsense. It really is. Now, here's a good article from Pam Martins, and she wrote this. Now, she's kind of a socialist, so I don't care for a lot of the stuff that she wrote, but she wrote a pretty good article here, and it's called Wall Street's Protection Racket, Mandatory Arbitration. Have you ever noticed that when you buy stuff now, even with cars or almost anything that you have to sign papers for to purchase, Doug, that involves a, you know, substantial purchase, they want you to arbitrate. It says that you're not allowed to sue them if their product doesn't work properly, that you're allowing yourself to go to binding mediation or arbitration to stop anybody from suing someone else for not doing what they say they're going to do. I mean, and you've seen this. I know you've seen this as an investigator over and over and over again. Guys, that's crazy. I mean, if you have a product that doesn't work, I think you should be able to just, if somebody, you buy it from somebody else, just get your refund on it and be done with it. Or you should have a right to seek, you know, get some type of remediation of the courts. But now they're saying that you can no longer do that, that you're going to be bound by arbitration, which means you get a person in a room, an arbitrator, and they decide how to negotiate with you to try to prevent this from going to court. Now, sometimes it works better that way. Sometimes it doesn't. But the problem is Wall Street's been using this, especially in their investment firms, to prevent people from suing them for giving them bad investments. And that's what she's talking about in this article. What do you think about that, Doug?
Yeah, that's... Watch or understand the reasons behind that, the motivation behind that. It's not to protect you, you know, Mr. Consumer, Mr. End User. No, no, no. It is to, and it's not to keep the case out of the courts, although that's the essential end game byproduct. It's to protect the perpetrators of fraud in some cases, or creators of boy, I'm searching for words here. Lemons, how's that? I'll just use that.
There you go.
Yep. So, it's not what you think.
In Florida, we've got a lemon law. And if you can prove that a vehicle's been in the shop three or four times and you have the continual problems over and over and over again, you could actually force the manufacturer to refund your money on the vehicle. And so it's something that happens a lot in Florida. But it's very difficult to get that through. It's just very difficult to prove it, you know, with the manufacturers in court. And that's why a lot of times, you know, you like with RVs and stuff, they're lemon laws on RVs, and they'll do work for you on the RV, but they won't give you the paperwork on what they did. I've seen this repeatedly personally. And you gotta just like fuss at them to get paperwork to get the information. So if there is a problem with this thing being a lemon, that you can actually prove that it was, because they don't want to give you any documentation that the work can't be repaired properly. And so it's interesting when you start getting into higher end vehicles, if you're not careful, how these manufacturers work with a lot of these dealers in not allowing you to garner the information to actually prove that it's a lemon law claim. So the state of Florida has a really good lemon law program. If you ever buy an RV, I highly suggest you buy it in Florida and not your state if they don't have a lemon law. Here's another article. It's by Hayes. It says the cost of U.S. healthcare is now 800% higher per person than it was in 1960, even when adjusted for inflation. That means it's eight times more expensive, even without inflation adjustment, to go to the emergency room to get your finger stitched back up. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, you could easily drop $30,000 to $50,000, they said, now being in the hospital for just a few days. I know Austin, his bill with the pericarditis, which, by the way, I want to thank everybody for praying. A lot of people continue to ask questions about that. He's 95%, 98% better now. He has to avoid getting under stressful situations. He got into an argument with his younger brother a couple of weeks ago on it. He kind of had a little relapse for a day or so. But he's doing absolutely wonderful, you know, if he keeps out of stress. And that's the thing that I learned when I had pericarditis back in the 80s, is that I had to avoid certain conditions that created stress in my life, because whenever your heart gets compromised like that, you got to really, really take care of it, because whenever stuff like that happens to you, you're basically looking in the mirror and you see your own mortality. And a lot of times it's pretty shocking when you're young to realize how fragile life is and how quickly it can go away. So it'll give you an epiphany as far as what you expect out of life, what you want out of life, and if you allow it to, it can help change you. Because remember, things that happen to Christians, and we have to believe this, that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So if we just have that mindset and we work together always for a concerted goal and we all work together to try to get a better solution, You know, we've got to believe that if God directs our paths, that our footsteps are ordered by the Lord, and He's going to take us in the right direction. I believe that with all of my heart. I really do. And I believe my entire life has been lived that way, because if we don't believe that, Doug, what's the alternative? To believe that everything that happens is just an accident? I don't believe any of that. I believe that we are directed by God Almighty Himself, because we're in covenant with Him, and He allows things to happen in our life that are primarily good. I also believe that we can control the outcome of our lives and the things that happen to us by our prayer, which I've talked about many, many, many times, and by our confessions of faith. I believe we can control that also. I mean, if you've got a really negative attitude, you're going to have a pretty negative life. And that's just common sense. I mean, people say, well, a positive attitude doesn't always help. Well, a negative attitude never helps anything. So that's how I look at life always, Doug, is it's, you know, always try to learn things from situations and surroundings. Like I learned the other day with the motorhome incident. Try not to park in motorhome parking. Try not to park in Walmart parking lots in motorhomes. Stay out in the back 40. You know what I'm saying? Avoid certain situations and learn from them. You know, don't let the situation kill you, but allow it to teach you and to learn from it. Very, very important that people don't make the same mistakes over and over again. You don't want to repeat first grade 20 times. I mean, what's that all about? I know a lot of kids, they basically keep repeating the same year over and over again, not academically, but emotionally and mentally. And they never learn from anything that's allowed to happen to them or happens with them or whatever. It's just that, remember, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We can also do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We've got to realize that a positive, goal-oriented lifestyle with positive confessions and positive prayer is going to be a whole lot better than the opposite. Just remember it that way. Another article. Neocons and Clintonites are now preparing for war in Syria. Propaganda campaign in support of direct U.S. military intervention is underway. Now, again, because we want to replace the government there, because Qatar wants to run a gas pipeline, and Putin doesn't want them to do that because he supplies the gas to Europe, and Syria doesn't want to do it either, the government, our government, has decided to overthrow Syria, and now Russia's supporting Syria, and our government is prepared to now, and they have put troops on the ground as advisors in Syria. And guys, remember, the Treaty of Westphalia, we talked about this a few months back, it forbids other countries getting involved in conflicts and civil disputes and civil disorders and civil wars in other countries. You can't do that by the Treaty of Westphalia. It's not allowed. Now, if the country invites you in, the ruling party in that country, the president, says, please come help us like they've done with Russia, that's okay. But they don't want us in there. They don't want the Mossad in there. They don't want them involved in this dispute that was basically instigated by the CIA. They want this mess done and out. The problem is, because Russia's backed Syria now, we're having a difficult time overthrowing the government. So it's like Egypt. Egypt was one of the most forward-thinking countries in Africa, if not the most. Libya, same thing. And we've gone in there and we've completely destabilized both those governments now. And of course, both those governments were thinking about trading oil for gold in other currencies, you know, instead of the petrodollar. And of course, they get overthrown. Now, Iran, on the other hand, for some reason, I have no idea what that was all about with Barack Obama giving them that incredible deal in that treaty. I still don't understand that one. Doug, do you have any idea why we did that?
Well, a couple of things, if I may. I want to address what you said about Syria. Folks, the troops in Syria, and right after Benghazi, I said Benghazi was all about Syria, and right. World War III was going to begin in Syria. And, you know, keep your eyes on it. There you go. Now it's, what, 3 years later, or 4 years, five, whatever. There it is. So, the Syria, yes. Iran, I think there's a push-pull here with Iran that we're not seeing. I think it's part of a bigger chess game, a three-dimensional chess game, frankly. And I think, aside from Valerie Jarrett, I think that there's other issues here. You know what, Ted? We had the head of the Assyrian Christian Army on this program, Sargis Sangari. And he was talking about Syria, but he also talked about Iran and Libya and all the other countries, Afghanistan, Iraq. It's a wild card, I think, here. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's the thing. I don't know. How do you think it plays in?
All I know is when Obama wrote his book, he said if he's going to go with the Muslims if the tides of this stuff change. I mean, he said that in his own book. And so, you know, I personally believe that, you know, of course, there's really not any doubt about that. We know Obama's a Muslim. We got that figured out already. That wasn't a hard question on a true false test, you know. And it's just that I personally believe that he's done everything he can to compromise the United States. But remember, George Soros, being that Rothschild stooge, has done the same thing. He kind of runs the Democratic Party now from all the leaked emails that we're seeing. He's kind of like telling, you know, Clinton how to handle things and bringing her directly into it. And, you know, him being the Rothschild stooge, we've got to go back to the central banks, to the Sabbateans, to the Luciferians, to the pedophile ring that we talked about earlier in the show. I mean, all of this stuff ties together. Yesterday, we were talking to a lady at a furniture store here in Kalispell, and she was awake, and she started asking me all these questions, and I started talking to her, and I said, well, I can answer a lot of them. I said, I don't have all the answers for you, but we've got a pretty good chunk of the puzzle put together now, which is only because of the internet and alternative media, because we've been able to do the research, the deep research on what the state has done in the last 70, 80, 90, 100 years with the Rothschild banking cartel taking over the United States in 1913 with the passage of the Federal Reserve Act, then the seizure of the gold by the Rothschild banking cartel in 1933 through FDR, using that gold to start the Exchange Stability Fund in 1934, which is basically where the shadow government gets its funding through the sale of Afghanistan heroin through the United States and the CIA. And that shadow government's now been running things since the 30s and 40s, and I went through the whole process with her and how it all laid out. She goes, there's really a timeline. If you don't go all the way back, it doesn't make any sense. And I said, well, it goes back further than that. It goes all the way back to Druidic worship and all the way back to the Tower of Babel, all the way back to Genesis chapter 6 and the fallen angels. I said, you've got to go all the way back to the beginning to understand this agenda that they're in. There's been this war in the heavenlies that's been going on for eons of time. The Bible talks about it. And it's the overthrow, they're trying to overthrow Yahweh. And Lucifer basically decided to just try to take over heavens from what we understand with the scripture. And then God just had enough of it and tossed him out and dropped him into a lower dimension where he no longer has authority over anything, really. Because as Christians, we have authority over him. The only people he controls are the unbelievers of this world who basically he's clouded their mind to believe the lie, which we've talked about on prior shows. And that's why the Bible says they have like a veil over them, so they will not believe the truth. Because you can sit there right now and you can show people what Hillary Clinton is to the people that are supporting her, explain what she's done, and Doug, these people that are these diehard Hillary supporters, nothing you can say as far as factual evidence that you can produce will sway them one iota from saying they will not vote for this witch. Period. They won't do it. It doesn't make any difference. You can't confuse them with any facts because they don't care. But Soros has been this big puppet manipulator, and again, I believe he's been funded through the Rothschild banking cartel, just like J.P. Morgan was. And here's some things that they talk about with him, about the top 10 machinations of this master manipulator. And this is a pretty good article. I don't have the author of this one, but you can look it up. And it basically says, if there's a movement, there's a good chance that Soros is behind it. And the article starts off and it says, the recent Soros attack, the hacking and the release of 2,500 plus emails and documents released by DC Leaks shows black and white proof of the machinations, manipulation, of the massively long reach of the Hungarian-born Jew, multi-billionaire, top Hillary Clinton donor, arch manipulator, and big-time New World Order insider George Soros. The man is extremely influential and deserves to be focused upon the same way as the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds have been. He has been behind some extremely important political movements in the U.S., including Black Lives Matter and geopolitical events around the world, such as the U.S.-funded Ukrainian coup, which installed a neo-Nazi puppet government. Soros' favored method is to fund revolutions and fake grassroots uprisings. And they're saying if there's a movement and there's a problem in the country, it's probably due to Soros, which is synonymous with Rothschild again, Soros/Rothschild. Some things they say that he's been involved in is trying to sway a U.S. Supreme Court decision, trying to buy journalists, influencing and trying to take advantage of the European migrant crisis, which we know that he's done, trying to reform immigration law through Europe and the world, including a U.S. immigration law passed by the Gang of Eight senators, funding Black Lives Matter, dictating to then U.S. Secretary Hillary of State, Clinton, how to handle a political situation in Albania as revealed by WikiLeaks. It starts off with, Dear Hillary, a serious situation has arisen in Albania and needs urgent attention of senior levels of your government, telling her what to do. Number 7, donating money buying influence of social justice through centralization of power in the state. Number 8, trying to make Greece support the Ukrainian coup and turn against Russia. Number 9, turning, gathering information on opponents to his agenda. And controlling the U.S. ambassador to the Ukraine and other key Ukrainian figures. This guy's involved in all of it. And so his hack by WikiLeaks has shown a vast hidden influence that he has had globally with governments, including Hillary, the Clinton Foundation, the United States government, our State Department, and everything that's going on globally seems to have his thumb in the middle of it, Doug, Joe. And again, he's trying to bring in a new world order based upon a feudal system, I guess, this Sabbatean way, because I believe he's a Rothschild stooge. What do you think, Doug?
Yeah, you know, it follow the money like we in all investigations. And there it is. And behind Soros. And, well, now the spawn of Soros is active. And isn't it interesting how Hillary is beholden to Soros? And Soros, I can't even count the number of foundations. Well, I guess I could, but 100 and some odd foundations, initiatives he's got his funding into. I mean, it's ridiculous, including but not limited to Black Lives Matter, as you mentioned, and any kind of a socialist cause or communist cause. There you find him. But behind him are the other big funders, the people whose names and faces you don't see or hear. You know, so.
Well, the craziest thing, Doug, it all goes back. You know, it all goes back to what happened with World War One and the Bolshevik Revolution, which was almost done by entirely by the money that was funded through the through the Rothschilds, and they're the ones who started this entire communist revolution. They're also the ones that brought all of the communists in from Russia and promoted this entire agenda with the communist revolution in Germany. They're the reason that Hitler was so angry with what happened with the Treaty of Versailles. I mean, we've gone into detail on your shows and how the Rothschilds were there basically orchestrating the entire Treaty of Versailles and telling everybody what they were going to do, these governments, and how they were going to do all of the stuff that they did to Germany with the Treaty of Versailles. And then Hitler came after all of these communists and had enough of all of them, and it ended up precipitating itself into World War II. Which, of course, was pretty much orchestrated, again, by the Rothschild banking cartel. And so all of this nonsense, if you read the book Pawns in the Game by William Guy Carr, who is an officer in the military in England, he wrote this book back in the 50s, just about a decade after World War II was over. He basically said that this Rothschild banking cartel, these Satanists is who they are, were running the entire planet, and they're the ones that divided up Europe. And they wanted to get Christianity out of Europe, and that's why they put this communist group of people and gave half of Europe to them, because it was able to basically destroy Christianity and much of Europe. And of course, the communists didn't believe in God. That's what their mantra was. Well, they do believe in their God. They believe in Lucifer, but they don't want to tell you about that when they first come in and start this mess. And so that's why the guy that I spoke to from Lithuania was so angry because of what the communists did to his culture. When I spoke to him about what happened, you know, on the tram going to Glacier the other day, he was so angry that the communists had done with the USSR, and basically he had raped his country and his culture and destroyed it, basically, from what it had once been.
Well, just wait until Hillary, the Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch, the yak, the communist Clinton gets in.
That's right.
You like communism? You like godless lawlessness? Here, it's coming if you bring her in. Ted, you've done it. You've taken us through another entire program of the Hagman and Hagman Report. And this after doing your own show, which, folks, by the way, can be heard after this show tonight. Right now, you don't even have to change stations right here on the Global Star Radio Network. So hang in for that. Ted, I just want to say thank you, brother. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us. And
God, Doug, thank you. And I want to thank your audience. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. I appreciate that. I mean, thanks for using the Doug 5 coupon and for being there for all of us on the front lines, and all of the supporters that we have are just what make this possible, to be able to do what we do and help the people that we help. Thank you. I'm just deeply indebted to all of you guys for being there to support us and supporting Doug and donating to Doug's cause that he does in supporting people like Chuck Baldwin and Pastor Langford. Thank you. And God bless you all, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks, man. And thank your wife for sharing you with us tonight. God bless you, brother.
Thanks.
Travel safe. All right. Folks, that'll do it for us. The Hagmann Report. What a great show. I mean, I really believe that we have the best lineup of guests. And if you, next week, we're going to have Steve Quayle. We're going to have Dick Morris. Yeah, that's right. Dick Morris on joining us. Steve Quayle and others. But stay tuned to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. Again, I want to thank Todd from Global Star Radio Network. Thank you so much for carrying our program. And I want to thank each one of you for your prayers, your support, your kindness. And I do mean that. And as we enter into this weekend, folks, stay alert. Pay attention. If there's anything that does happen of consequence, we will come back out and discuss it. But please, when you hit your knees tonight, and please hit your knees tonight, say a prayer just pray. Pray, prepare, and saddle for battle. God bless.
A sustainable backup method.